following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Thank God it's Friday. Yes, we are here. We have made it. And my goodness, do we have some things to talk about on the show today. Not only did you make it to Friday, Auburn fans, not only did you make it to Friday, college football fans, you have made it to college football season. That is right. Week zero is come and gone, and week one is underway. Games last night we got to talk about. Games tonight we got to talk about. And of course, all the games tomorrow that we got to talk about. So happy Friday. Hope you're doing well on this August 30th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. You got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7, and it's a packed house here on this Friday. We've got your favorite. He's wild. He's crazy. He's your favorite, Uncle T-Bone. He's in the studio, and the voice of the Lee Scott Warriors, Christian Griffin, with us as well. Gentlemen, happy Friday. Hope you're both doing well.
Yeah, doing good. We made it. We finally made it. College football season is here. Auburn football is back, baby. Can you feel it, guys? I know I can, Christian. Oh, boy, this is going to be a big one tomorrow as the Tigers kick off and open up against Alabama and A&M in a new-look roster, a new-look roster staff. A lot of excitement on the Plains. We're going to go through a lot of picks. There was a lot of football last night. Give us a call at 334-321-1390 here at On the Line. Christian, the show that tells it like it is. That's what you're supposed to say.
And holds nothing back. There we go. We're picking it up. We're picking it up. Well, you know, the famous saying from Uncle T-Bone is that if we had tails, we'd be wagging them. And
that's right.
Since it's Friday, we had football games last night, more games tonight. Memorial Day weekend as well, a long weekend of college football.
Labor Day, but you're close.
You're right. That's on me. Labor Day weekend. But, again, just a long weekend. And, oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'd say our tails, they're wagging a little bit.
I would say so. And for those of you that have been with us from last year coming back into this year, you know that free-for-all Fridays are a lot of fun. And we go through everything around college football. We're going to get to some high school football today as well. But if you recall who joined us on Fridays to start every show throughout football season, this guy, he's a blast. And he is the best at what he does. And he's so much fun. And he's gracious with this time each and every Friday. And to kick off the show, we get to the phone lines. Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports is with us. Lee, great to hear from you, my man. It's been way too long.
Hey, I can get by for a night or two of the Olympics, but 2 weeks, just too much for me. I need the football already.
Well, the football is here. We had week zero. We had games last night. What's your take so far before we get into the games and allow you to tell the people what it is that you do? What's your take so far on how this college football season has played out already?
You know, I think the FCS schools are coming up. I mean, they got some kids that can play. The kids are coached up. They play really hard. I mean, if you watched that Colorado game last night, I mean, they almost lost. I mean, that was tooth and nail. And then, you know, and I think they got certainly the better of the calls. Their star receiver pushed off three times, two for touchdowns that should have been called back. And Western Carolina, I mean, they almost took it to NC State. So these teams that usually make the playoffs in the FCS, they are bona fide. They would be probably in the middle of the pack in a lot of conferences, except for maybe the SEC. So, these kids are fun to watch, and that's what makes college football so great. And I think this is going to be the greatest year in college football ever. Why do I say that? With the college football playoff, with 12 teams making it in, I mean, we're dreaming. I mean, you and I, you're an Auburn fan. I'm a Miami fan. If we're sitting at, like, 8-2, two games left in the schedule, we're ranked 20th, 25th. We run the table. We're going to the party. How much fun is that?
That's right. Yeah, that's awesome. Lee, I got to jump in real quick, Lee. This is Uncle T-Bone. Hadn't heard from you since you made everybody happy around here and took Michigan to take down Alabama, but then gave us that Maryland pick, which kudos to you, my man, was spot on when we went up against them in the Music City Bowl. I'm with you on North Dakota State University, and I would say I think they'd give a lot of SEC teams a fit if they, especially if they lined up on a neutral field. They play physical football.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, they're scouring and finding the best players. There's a lot of good players around the country, and a lot of good players got left behind, you know, because of COVID, and kids are hanging on for. We got a kid at Miami. He's in his ninth year.
Oh,
can you believe
gosh.
It?
9 years of college football. That I didn't even want to go to school for four.
I'd stay around that long if I could, you know, but especially at Miami and Oregon. But kid McCormick, 9 years, he's probably teaching classes by now.
Well, look, college football is so much fun, and we enjoy having you on each and every Friday. And so tell the people who are new around here who may not have been with us a year ago, tell them what you do and how they can find everything that you do, and then we're going to dive in some picks here.
Yep. Just go to the website, ParamountSports.com. I'm a former college quarterback. You can see every game I've given my clients over the last 5 years. Most sports services won't do that under recent results at Paramount Sports. So I've watched every spring game that was out there, Division I opponent. I also saw all these FCS teams that were going to be playing Division I opponents. So I put in the time. You're going to get the best shake that I've got. And I'm not going to win every game or every week, but we've had 29 out of 30 winning years. So check out all the specials on the website, ParamountSports.com. You can always call us, and we'll speak to you personally. Set up something for you. We do every major sport, even UFC. 800-400-9741.
Lee and I met a couple of years back at SEC Media Days, and we've been friends ever since. And again, he's going to be with us every Friday to start the show here throughout college football. Let's dive into this thing, my man. You gave us a list of games that you want to go over. We'll get to your free play at the end as well. Starting with your school, Miami and Florida, which might just be the most interesting game tomorrow.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, that place is an absolute zoo. 90,000 fans, and here's the problem for Florida. I think Sunbelt Billy's up against it. The over-under in them winning games this year is 4.5. He loses this game, they're in trouble. Miami's like an SEC team, finally. Mario Cristobal's been building it here from the inside out. They have two top-10 units running the football on the offensive line and the defensive line. Florida ranks in the top, barely in the top 30, in the top 45 offensive and defensive lines. Also, Miami brought in Cam Ward from Washington State. Graham Mertz is improved for Florida, but I think he's going to have a great game. I mean, go like 20 for 25, and they're going to have to get some turnovers to have a chance. With Cam Ward and his experience, 50 starts as a quarterback, it's unlikely. The Gators. Guess how many turnovers their defense produced all season long, Jacob?
They did, and you know
how many? How many would you guess that they got?
I don't know.
Seven.
Wow,
that's it. Seven in a total of 12 games. So I think they're in trouble here. Right team's favorite, Miami, 31-24.
How about that? The Hurricanes. Now, you're a Hurricane fan, but I think that you're a businessman first. Yep, I hear you. Nobody knows them better than you. Moving on to a neutral site game in Atlanta, Lee. I guess if you can call it that, but both schools are pretty close to one another and to the great city of Atlanta. Georgia, 13.5 versus the Clemson Tigers. I don't know about you, but it kind of seems like to me that Dabo Swinney's laying in wait here real quietly. Is he in the weeds, or is Georgia going to blow him out?
You know, I don't know if he is. I mean, he blew a gasket Monday night in that coach's show. Did you hear that, Tate?
Yeah, and now he's not letting people call in anymore.
Yeah, I mean, he's tight. He is wound just, I think, too tight. I mean, they returned 13 starters, Georgia 14, so not much difference, but they're not taking portal kids, and Georgia is. They're the two-time defending champion. They said, Trevor Etienne, do you want to come on down? Love to have you. also snagged the tight end from Stanford, the receiver from Miami, Colby Young. So they really have 17 returning starters. They have the number four special teams. They're 19-9 in neutral site games here. And Cade Klubnik, I'm just not a believer. He only scored 7 against Duke last year, 16 against South Carolina, 17 against West Wake Forest. Sometimes you got to lay it to play it. Georgia, 30-13.
Man, I think there's a lot of people starting to go that way, Lee, and I may just be on that boat with you. Talking to Lee Sterling from ParamountSports.com. He joins us every Friday to start the show. You can check him out at ParamountSports.com if you want to get involved with some of these betting lines coming into week one of college football. The game on Sunday night in Las Vegas, SEC versus Big Ten now. It's LSU getting 4 against USC. They're favored by 4, that is. What do you have for the Tigers and the Trojans, who are both just atrocious on defense a year ago?
Yeah, two third-year coaches here. I just think that LSU's farther along. They will be better on defense. What did USC do? Well, they fired their defensive coordinator. They have 6 new starters on defense from, get these schools, Vanderbilt, Georgia State, and 2 each from UCLA and Oregon State. That's not going to get it done here. Mm. No Jaden Daniels, but they can run the football behind 3 potential all-conference offensive linemen here. The guy that can flip the switch here, Xavion Thomas, a transfer from Mississippi State. Maybe not as a receiver, but as a returner, 33.7 yards per kick return, 11.6 on every punt return. I like LSU. I think they get the job done 35-24.
I'm with you, Lee. I like the Bayou Bengals there big time.
Yep.
I still think there's trust issues even within the LSU fan base for Brian Kelly, but I just trust him a little bit more than Lincoln Riley right now. Both teams.
He was at Notre Dame, and from what I'm hearing, when they played Alabama, he just knew before the game he was in trouble. He was watching those Alabama defensive linemen and linebackers running 4.4s, 4.5s, 4.6s. He's like, these guys are like our skill players, and he knew he was in trouble. And that's one of the main reasons he moved on to LSU.
Well, they've got more talent just about than anybody year in, year out. Can he get it done this year remains to be seen, but I think he gets it done Sunday night in Las Vegas. Speaking of Alabama, Lee, -3.5 hosting T.J. Finley, who's played a little college football himself, even at Auburn over the years, and the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. Any chance the Hilltoppers keep this one close in Tuscaloosa?
It's going to be tough. I mean, Western Kentucky, you know, they got blown out by their only – top-level competition last year when they played Ohio State, 63-10. It was 24-28-0 after 8 minutes. So it's going to be really tough for them. I think Bama's going to run the football because Western Kentucky can't stop it here. Justice Haynes, and I love this name, Jam Miller. Katie bar the door. Bama 51-13.
Man, saying the Kalen DeBoer era gets off on a 1-0 start there in Tuscaloosa. And Lee, one of the things we love about having you on is you always include the Auburn game, whether it's a big favorite, underdog, no matter what the case, you're always going to give us your pick for the Auburn Tigers, who open up year 2 under Hugh Freeze tomorrow night under the lights against Alabama A&M, favored by 41.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm looking at this game here. Last year, the Bulldogs gave up 45 to Jackson State, 47 to Vandy. Auburn's offense with the transfers at wide receiver from Penn State, Georgia State, plus I'm watching a spring game. Cam Coleman is an absolute stud. I mean, he is a guy ready to play right now and really help this passing game out here. Defense should be even better than last year when they gave up 22.6 points per game. I think they can name the score here. I'm going to go with Auburn, 56-3.
Boom. How about that, Auburn fans? Lee Sterling on the right side in week one. Again, you can find all of his stuff at ParamountSports.com. Lee, I'm going to give you a chance to plug all that and your free play that people can check out for you as well.
Yeah, free play this week is going to be the Kentucky-Southern Miss game. Does Kentucky blow them out, or is this a game under the radar? First 10 callers get it for free. Call 800-400-9741 now. Again, the number 800-400-9741. Kentucky and Southern Miss on me. or like I said, check us out online. Love to have you come on board. We're ready for another great season. Just one place, ParamountSports.com.
29 out of 30 winning seasons. You're not going to find it any better than that, ladies and gentlemen. Football's underway. Basketball will be here before we know it. You guys do UFC as well. I mean, there's no better place to be than with Lee Sterling and ParamountSports.com. My man, always great to have you. Thanks so much for your time. Happy Friday and happy week one of college football.
You too, buddy. Take care.
Thanks so much. Lee Sterling, check him out, ParamountSports.com. Gentlemen, what do we think about Lee coming in? He's got Auburn covering, has Alabama covering, gets Western Kentucky. He even took LSU to cover against USC. Christian, your thoughts?
We're going to have to look at that SEC football challenge, maybe. I might have to switch around a couple of the bubbles that have been circled.
Uh-oh,
maybe not.
Uh-oh.
We'll see. We'll see which games I get to sit on for 15 or 30 more minutes before I have to finally make a decision.
That's right. Well, look, Lee Sterling is awesome. Hopefully you enjoyed that. He's become a fan favorite of this show throughout football seasons. And so check him out, Lee Sterling and ParamountSports.com. We'll take our first break, come back. We'll get into a lot of things. We got to recap what's happened so far in college football. Last night got a little wacky. We'll talk about that here as we're off and running on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Rolling on here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. Thanks to Lee Sterling from ParamountSports.com. If you want to be into that sort of thing, and you can be a part of it, he will get you set up right. Let me tell you what, Lee Sterling knows it better than most. And so check him out, ParamountSports.com. I'm Jacob Goins. He's Uncle T-Bone. Christian Griffin with us in the studio as well. Gentlemen, we had college football last night, and it continued from week zero into week one. Man, there were great games all over the place last night. It was really a wild scene on a Thursday night in college football.
Yeah, I mean, it was what a way to get things started. Hard to say what was the game of the night. North Dakota State, giving Colorado all they wanted, had them on the ropes. If you stayed up later, the North Carolina-Minnesota game was fantastic.
Yes, it was.
Western Carolina scared the bejesus belt off of North Carolina State, who did not look like a top 25 team to yours truly for most of that game, I can tell you that. And then the SEC, I watched a lot of Missouri. What in the world was Murray State doing coming out kicking
first-time head coach, I mean, and he said, you know what I'm going to do? Shock the world with an onside kick.
Yeah, and on the road. And listen, you can't do that when you're a 48-point favorite to start the game. Why not kick it deep, hope you get a stop, maybe get a cheap score, get a little momentum, and then get going? Once I saw that, I knew the blowout and route was on, and boy, was it ever. Luther Burden looked great. And speaking of blowouts, Bobby Petrino announces his return to Arkansas with some authority last night. 70-0 over Arkansas Pine Bluff, Jacob Goins.
Yeah, can I jump in on that for a second?
Yeah,
because,
why not? Please.
Because, thank you, I appreciate that. Here's the thing. All right, I've received some flack a little bit, a little pushback from some of the people that listened to the show yesterday, because I said never in my right mind would I ever bet any singular amount of money on Arkansas to win by 50 or more points. They were favored by 50.5 is what it closed at. And I don't care that they won 70-0.
Right.
Never in my life would I ever bet on Arkansas to win a football game by 50 or more points. And the only reason that they went and scored 70, which, by the way, Arkansas broke an NCAA record last night. They are the first team ever to score on their first 10 offensive possessions to start a season. They scored every time. And they broke an NCAA record last night. Why? A, because Pine Bluff is terrible. And B, I think Arkansas realized this is the only team that we're going to be able to bully like this year. So they just never called off the dogs. And then they put up 70 points against Pine Bluff on a Thursday. Congratulations, Arkansas.
Well, that was the joke that I made, is that it's going to be week 8 and Arkansas is going to be 2-5, but they're going to be up there going, well, hey, we're still averaging 27.4 points a game. A little bit of an outlier.
Give me a break.
Yeah, I would take Central Phoenix City or Auburn High over that Pine Bluff team. I mean, they they had defensive linemen skinnier than me on that, you know, on the field. They were is not a legitimate college football opponent, even close to it. And I know a lot of teams up and open up with cupcakes, but they're going to turn out, from what I could see, to probably be one of the worst teams in college football.
I'll say this, though. That Taylen Green, he's got some talent.
Yeah, I mean, against the Pine Bluff, he looked great. He did make a fantastic throw. I saw one of the better throws I've seen in a while. And you said it, though, Jacob. This is an Arkansas team that had some hope last year heading into last season. They were you know, kind of thought of, and I'd even drank some of that Razorback Kool-Aid as a surprise team to perhaps challenge for the SEC. It fell apart really quickly and ugly in Fayetteville last year, kind of like their basketball program did. And Christian, I just, you know, think that they went out there and exercised some frustration demons on a team that just had no business being on the field with them.
Right. It was exactly what Jacob was saying, was there was zero letting off of the gas, even halfway through the third and halfway through the fourth quarter when you're sitting there looking. I mean, Arkansas still found a way to score three touchdowns in the second half, 14 of them in the fourth quarter alone, when you feel like you're playing the garbage time, when you're getting a couple guys extra reps. No, it was still all of the ones out there, and they were sitting there lighting up that scoreboard.
So, I mean, good for them. You know what I mean? We got a text in the on-the-line text box that says, agreed on Arkansas. It says, went to my first game there it says my eldest was a grad and went to my first game there, and they were 25-point favorites to San Jose State, and they lost. So that my point is proven. Never in my life would I have ever bet on Arkansas to win a game by 50, but congratulations.
Well, I mean, for entertainment purposes only, I'm not going to lay down 50 points to anybody.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, it's just outrageous.
I said I didn't care if they were playing a high school team, I wouldn't do it.
I mean, it could just take one fumble and one scoop and score, or just anything could happen just for most teams to cover 50 points. Give me a break.
And how about, you mentioned it earlier, Uncle T-Bone, Colorado, who is, again, one of those stories in college football that you either love it or you hate it. And there's no in-between, right? There's no in-between. And I said it on the show yesterday. I asked the question, a hypothetical to my listeners. I said, tell me how many of you may end up finding yourself cheering against Colorado in that game last night. So let me ask you the question the day after. How many of you stayed up and watched the game last night and were cheering for North Dakota State? Most of America was. Most of America wanted North Dakota State to beat Colorado last night, and they came up 4 yards short of doing it.
It feels like it's one of those stories of, not only is it the underdog against the big-time Goliath or whatever it is, but the team that's getting all the glitz and the glamour, just somebody that's easy to cheer against. It's the best of both worlds as an underdog. And North Dakota State, again, they showed the physicality. They showed how clean they play football. That time of possession really took over in the first half. They kind of changed the tempo. They took out their quarterback, played the backup a little bit more in the second half, a little bit more surprising to me.
But Colorado's defense just played lights out. They just had a great second half. They just suddenly turned it around in the locker room.
Yeah, we called this game a couple of weeks ago, Jacob, if I remember. We were talking about that spread at 8.5 points and how we really like North Dakota State there, not only to cover but to keep it close and possibly win. And I even went as far to say if Colorado had lost last night, how many other games would they win this season?
And I think that's still a legitimate question.
Their defensive line is horrible.
Terrible. Their offensive line's bad, too.
Yeah, Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter just bail them out last night. They're not going to be able to bail them out much longer against teams that not even are that good, just are solid.
Buffaloes go to Nebraska next week.
L.
Which is a
fact.
I didn't get in on that. You didn't let me know before the show that I was going to needed to shout that out, but I'll learn. I'll quickly learn. But, I mean, that's going to be what a true road test that is for a Nebraska team that, again, is still trying to figure out a lot, starting a freshman quarterback and doing Raiola, but kid's an arm slinger. And if Colorado can't play any sort of defense in the secondary, it's going to be a long night for the Buffaloes.
Your Kansas Jayhawks, Uncle T-Bone, got it done last night, 48-3. NC State with a big-time scare as well. The Fighting Gus Malzahns of UCF got it done. A couple of other games in there, too. But overall, Week one is off to a hot start, and we're going to get to our bottom of the hour break. Lonnie and Lochipoca, hang on. You're going to be first up when we come back here on Free for All Friday.
On the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Halfway through hour number one here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Let's get to the phone lines. This guy's been holding on, and we appreciate him doing so. Lonnie and Lochipoca, you're on the line, man. Happy Friday.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Doing good, man. What's on your mind on this Free For All Friday?
How many games did y'all watch yesterday? Did you watch any of them?
Yeah, I watched, I probably watched six or seven different ones. You know, I had the multi-box going, flipping around, looking around. So I'd say six or seven for me personally.
I mean, I know it's early in the season and the schedule's not all that great, you know, for week one, week two, outside of, you know, a game here or there. But I want to know how many friends of y'all's you had before we hired Hugh Freeze that were in on the "We need to hire Neon Deion or he's going to go to Bammer and we're going to get left behind."
I mean, how many people, Lonnie, were like, "Hey, Uncle T, who do you want as the coach? Let me tell you who I want. Prime.
If we don't get Deion, we're screwed." I heard that so many times, and I'm going to tell you right now, Neon Deion is going to be lucky to be coaching peewee football again here in about 2 years or less.
Well, I tell you, Lonnie, one thing that I noticed too is just physically he's over on the sidelines hobbling around like Frodo the Hobbit. I mean, physically, I don't think he's going to be walking very much longer with his feet in the way they are. There's no way he's going to coach much longer just because of that.
But I'll say this, though, Lonnie. Did you see the stats that ESPN put out last night during the broadcast of all the money and attention that he's brought to Colorado? That's the reason he's there. I mean,
look, ESPN and what? Who was the guy's name? Mark somebody that's the announcer?
Mark Jones, yeah.
I mean, you would think, by the way they were talking, that Colorado looked like frickin' Georgia from 2 years ago.
No, that's pretty consistent. That's pretty consistent with the – and I'm not one to talk bad about broadcasters as a fellow broadcaster, but that seems to be consistent with them. I'm with you.
It was bad. And I'm with you, Lonnie. It's like revisionist history now. Everyone was, and we start – you know, Mary Flipmas, "I always wanted Hugh." There were – a large segment of Auburn fans that wanted Neon Deion to
or
be
just
the head
didn't
coach
want
here.
Hugh Freeze.
Well,
you know who Deion reminds me of a little bit in terms of the way his teams play and just his what he has recruited versus what he's gotten on the field. It reminds me of Terry Bowden the last couple of years. He was at Auburn where he was recruiting nothing but skill players and his lines would just get decimated on both sides of the ball. That's what he's doing. He thinks he can win with all these skill players and skill players only, and that ain't going to work.
Well, you make a great point there. It's like Shedeur Sanders at quarterback, how Damien Craig in 1996 and 97 was the quarterback at Auburn and basically the entire offense.
You could say that about the last few years of Gus Malzahn, too. He did the same thing. He'd go out and find the best athletes, but in terms of offensive, defensive line, there was none.
Yeah, the big boys just pushed him around. And when you got a team,
you could make the argument that that's basically the reason Gus ended up getting fired was because of his lack of offensive line recruiting.
I think so.
Now come on, Lonnie. Herb Hand was one of your favorites as the offensive line coach.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to stick by my lead pipe lock, LSU minus the point.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to, as far as the Auburn game is concerned, I don't think you're going to see a whole lot from Auburn. You might see Auburn run the ball 45 times and throw it 15 or 20, but we're going to we're going to rout them. It's going to be about 48-3, maybe 48-7, and that'll be all she wrote for this weekend.
I like it. Hey, Lonnie, before we let you go, are you going to be in attendance tonight as the Lochapoka Indians host the Warriors, Elise Scott?
I may think about getting over there and seeing that.
Okay.
That's a good old, you know, class action 1A football there.
Hey, there you go, man. There you go. Hey, great to hear from you, man. Have a great weekend.
Have a good one, guys.
Lonnie and Lochapoka joining us on the phone lines. You can as well, 334-321-1390.
It's a serious question to ask when you're looking at Deion Sanders in Colorado. I think the quarterback has the same last name as the head coach. I'm not 100% sure, but
I'll double check.
Yeah, please. You're talking about only hiring, or it technically is hiring, skilled players now to make your son look better. Doing that to comfort your son into a smooth transition into the NFL?
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean,
I
go back to the stats thing, though, and it's like, okay, if you're Colorado, right, you're not going to win football games with Deion Sanders as your head coach, but they're making a fortune off of
you have 2.3 more million followers on Instagram.
And the merchandising percentage was up by like 530% or something like that. I mean, I think they will keep him around as long as the well doesn't run dry in terms of money, right? That's what's going to happen here with Colorado.
Lonnie says it, and it's all about the show. Colorado was a program that was completely 100% Christian, dead in the water.
Yeah.
I mean, it was going nowhere fast with no hope. And so I don't fault them whatsoever for hiring Deion Sanders.
No.
And his son last night goes 26 for 34 for 445 yards and 4 touchdowns. Mm. Save their hides. Save those Buffalo hides last night. But what I think irritates Lonnie and old school football fans like me is the fact that the media, especially the mainstream media, just continually props up Deion Sanders like he's one of the elite coaches in college football.
Well, right. It's like it's a calendar thing to where, depending on the sport, it's either what is LeBron doing, and now it's what is Deion Sanders doing, and I feel like it rotates. There might be one or two more names sprinkled in there, but yeah, as you mentioned, I mean,
yeah,
Colorado beat a first-year FBS school by 4.5 yards.
Whose quarterback was playing for the University of New Hampshire last year, and they were way more physical than Colorado.
Very much so.
Say this, I always liked Deion Sanders in the professional level. Couldn't stand him at Florida State. Auburn used to always play against him. The professional level, he was the ultimate show person. And it was just hilarious when he'd break one and then go into the poses and dances. I have nothing personal against Deion Sanders. But what I do have personal against is mainstream media continuing putting him in the same boat with like a Nick Saban or Kirby Smart. They won 4 games last year. They'll be lucky to win 4 this year.
It's a continuous social media game, knowing that that's going to get the engagement, going to get the clicks, going to get the comments. So you're essentially farming for all of that, knowing that half of the people believe that, but half of the people are also going to comment that. So it's a win for everybody that does it.
Isn't it working right now?
Yeah.
We've talked about it for 15 minutes. It's worked. They've done their job. The hire of Deion Sanders is doing exactly what they wanted it to do.
I think we're talking about it because Lonnie brings up the point that there were several Auburn fans
who
were so ignorant that they thought that would be a better hire than Hugh Freeze.
The only hire available.
334-321-1390. Got a couple of phone calls to get to. We'll start with John in Auburn. You're on the line, man. Happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday. I'll be real quick. I searched ESPN Plus to try and find the worst football team I could find, and I found them, Uncle T. I found the worst team that'll be on TV all year last night.
All right.
Did you see the North American Stallions?
No.
Is this a university?
It's a university. I'd never heard of them.
Is it an online university?
No, they're in person. They were at Stephen F. Austin.
Okay.
Stephen F. Austin had them 70-0 at the half.
Gosh.
And they played a 5-minute third quarter and a 5-minute fourth quarter.
That sounds like some high school stuff right there. Running clock and limited time. That sounds like blowouts on Friday nights, John.
Well, I thought about you, Uncle T, because for entertainment purposes only, a football game has to go 50 minutes. I bet there were some upset individuals.
Did not know that. I did not know that. Oh. That is great information, John. I tell you what, you brought something really new to the show today like you normally do. I love it.
Well, I have an over-under for you guys on a game tonight that I'm most interested in.
Okay.
I'm an AISA guy. I know a lot of y'all were as well.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked by Glenwood beating Valley last week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, us too.
But what do you think? I got an over-under. 3.5 touchdowns for Alvin Henderson tonight.
3.5? Is that what you said?
Yeah, Elba is playing Glenwood tonight.
Oh, he's going to run through them like chocolate cheese.
He's going to eat. I will say Glenwood's got some dudes on that defensive side, but if Elba's smart, they're just going to continue to turn and hand the ball to him, let me tell you.
Of course. Anyway, I'll be fascinated when that final score comes in tonight.
Yeah, well, Christian will give you updates on the Lee Scott Sports Network, so be sure you tune into that. John, great to hear from you, man.
Enjoy it.
That's John in Auburn, 334-321-1390.
Looking at the Lumberjacks of Stephen F. Austin, their starting quarterback went 8 of 8 for 288 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Well, I'll say this. for John to know that it has to go 50 minutes for it to be counted in Vegas, that's hysterical. But if you're betting on, who was it?
The North American University Stallions versus the Stephen F. Austin Lumberjacks.
Woo! That's worse than betting on Arkansas minus 50.
I kind of like John's style here. He's like, you know what? I'm sure everybody's going to be talking about Auburn and whatnot tomorrow on the
Let me find somebody that nobody's talking about.
I'm going to find out the absolute worst football team on earth. And I'm going to bring it to the show tomorrow. And he did it.
That's a free-for-all Friday topic right there, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get back to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. Andy, you're on the line, man. Happy Friday.
Hey, where are you going? How are y'all?
Good, man. Great to hear from you.
Thank you. I need y'all to fire me up. I need y'all to, cut me open, still see if I bleed orange and blue with what I'm about to say. I don't know if it's been talked about, but I've been pretty depressed this week. I'm not a huge fan of NIL.
Yep.
I've known football players dating and, the free food and stuff. And they came up with NIL because they said the schools are making too much money and give the kids a piece of pie. Now, I'm all about that, but I also know how life works. And once you open up Pandora's box, it's usually a mess.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're paying these guys so much money that Auburn needs money. And I just found out, I can't afford going in the games anymore with a family of five. Be there?
Yeah, I understand that.
Okay. And so my big thing is tailgating with friends and family, and we tailgate with some older people, and I'm always worried this is going to be the last year, especially with us stinking. I'm still surprised they, come down here and stuff. But the one good thing we had was parking right next to our tailgate.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got told Monday that they sold all the parking there where we tailgate behind Samford and that little square. And I was like, well, we'll go park at our other place we used to park. And my wife's like, well, they closed that place off too. And
man,
it just looks like they're pushing all us peasants out. Do they sell alcohol to peasants yet, or is it just the rich people still?
No, I think it is around the entire stadium there at Jordan Hare. I saw a couple weeks ago when I was there for the scrimmage on that Saturday, I saw the beer coolers that they had in Jordan Hare.
Cool. Well, that's good. I hated seeing peasants getting kicked out while, the lords and queens and, getting served it for free. But just with the parking thing, I love Auburn. We're not even good yet. Can we wait till we win a national championship and then start, kicking us out?
Andy, when this started, back after 9/11, when they unfortunately started putting those posts up all over campus, on the perimeter of campus, so you couldn't just pop over the curb, open up your trunk, park anywhere you want, and start tailgating and having a good time. And they used all that against us little folks, basically to begin the money grab that is now tailgating at Auburn University. And that's real unfortunate.
Well, you're right. I remember when we used to pull up on the band field and, throw the football around. But Auburn, the success of Auburn is always on the family and being together and stuff. And it just seems like they're doing everything they possibly can to strip that away. and I don't know what I'm going to be able to hold on to in the next couple of years. You know, it's just, we're just going to be like an Alabama or Georgia. There's not going to be any of that special, you know, love sauce and friendliness, and it's just all going to be for money. And whenever money's the root of anything, you know, there's that saying for a reason. So
yeah,
it's just, it's depressing. And again, I'm fine. I got a house downtown, the Airbnb I can park at, but I'm just thinking about these older people that come, like once they stop coming, I'm going to be, you know, tailgateless. And it's hard to go find another. I mean, I can go find one, but you know, when you spend 10 years with someone, you have bonds, you look forward to them. And,
sure.
So I don't know. If you guys have any encouraging words, I'll hang up and listen. And maybe, you know, a bunch of wins this year will help that. Just it's been a rough couple of years with Auburn, and now they're taking the one kind of free thing away from me. So,
well, Andy, let me tell you this. When we get off the phone, send me a text in the on-the-line text box, okay, at 334-784-1067. Send me a text there. Tell me that it's you so I know who I'm speaking with. And I've got a guy that wants to talk to you a little bit about this situation in a good way and has good things. So send me a text as soon as we get off here, okay, 334-784-1067. We'll talk offline because I have something that we can get for you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Andy.
I'll tell you another thing, Andy. One thing you can always hang on to is On the Line, ESPN 106.7.
We ain't going 2 anywhere.
2-4, the show that tells it like it is and holds nothing back. And I want you to mark next Friday down on your calendar. We'll release that on Monday, but you just go ahead and mark it down. You come on down there, and we'll have a good old time, buddy. We'll slaughter the fatted calf just for you, Andy, next Friday. Live remote.
Hey-o, let's get to our final break here in hour number one, and we'll surge into hour number two. We got to start getting to some picks. We got to talk Auburn football. We got so much more to get to. High school football as well. That's all coming up as we wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one. Flies by, doesn't it, on this free-for-all Friday, and we'd love for you to be a part of it. We've got a ton of phone calls today already. 334-321-1390. Anything else that we need to get to from last night? A couple of games going on tonight, gentlemen, in college football for week one. And when we get into hour number two, we're going to be making our SEC picks. We'll have a couple of other games as well from our SEC football challenge, and then do our full breakdown and dive into Auburn and Alabama A&M. Any games from tonight that you guys want to go over? I mean, nothing overly crazy, but there are Power Four schools in action tonight.
I mean, not necessarily that you want to have that deep dive in, but I think the two that stand out are Temple and Oklahoma, just because it's Oklahoma's first game in the SEC. In Norman, Oklahoma's a 42-point favorite. And then Florida Atlantic and Michigan State. I've heard that could possibly be on upset alert as FAU rolls into Spartan Stadium.
Like
there's a lot of moving pieces.
Points?
It's down to 13 right now, the total 44.5. So expecting a defensive game. But I've seen a couple people pick the Owls to walk into East Lansing and pull away with the upset.
Hey, a lot of eyes across the state will be watching Wisconsin host Western Michigan. The Badgers kind of hovering around right at being a top 25 team. Always a solid program. Jacob, you're a huge Luke Fickell fan.
I am.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
I think he's a solid coach as well. Did a great job at Cincinnati. The former Ohio State alumni, now the head coach of Wisconsin. I'll be interested to see what the Badgers look like. Alabama has an interesting week three matchup at Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think we should all keep an eye on that one tonight. And I talked about this game earlier yesterday, TCU Stanford. How random is that? Big 12 ACC, not Pac-12, Big 12 ACC tonight, 9:30 on ESPN. Is anybody in their right mind staying up all night to watch that one? I'll probably catch the second half when we get home from high school football just because it takes me so long to shut my brain down. But what a gross game that is. TCU and Stanford.
It's a gross game, but I applaud both teams for being willing to make the game happen and for TCU to travel to Stanford to go play it. I mean, again, it's a tough week one game, and it's a weird game that's a schedule that has absolutely zero conflict with any sort of conference standings or anything, but for the college football fan, and again, we'll probably catch the second half or at least the fourth quarter of it. Yeah, why not? I'll turn it on. It's college football.
Hey, I'm not going to complain. And speaking of high school, we'll get into that a little bit coming up in hour number two. Auburn High School back at home at Duck Sanford Stadium. We are hosting Vestavia Hills tonight at the Duck.
After yeah, did Lee Starling have a pick on that?
Auburn by a million is what he said. I think that's the official. Sure. I think that's the official pick. Auburn hosting Vestavia Hills after they lost to Carver last week. So Vestavia is going to travel extremely well. And then Christian, you are on the road for week two for Lee Scott, huh?
We are heading to Lochapoca, not too far down the road, about 20, 25 minutes. But make sure to catch us pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7. AU,
the new 100. Highway 14 rivalry, buddy. Lee Scott, the Warriors versus the Indians. That's going to be a good game, Christian.
It will. It's everything that it's supposed to be. Both teams going in blind. You don't really know too much about each other.
Is that an area game?
It is not.
No, okay. Lochapoca's 1A, and Lee Scott 3A. Okay. Yeah. So Lee Scott trying to go 2-0 in AHSAA. They'll open up area play next week. Is that right? At Childersburg. So Auburn High is doing the same thing. They'll open up with Opelika next week at Duck Sanford Stadium. More high school conversation, plus week one picks in Auburn and Alabama A&M. We're through one. Stick around for hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on the free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, it was a doozy. I'll tell you that. We started with Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. He joins us every Friday to get the show started, talking the biggest betting lines and the best games from week one. He gave you a lot of his picks and also allowed you to check him out and get a free play this weekend from ParamountSports.com. And so you be sure you go back and listen to that segment. He's a fan favorite for sure. We reacted to a lot of the games from last night, talked about a little bit of the games coming up tonight, had a lot of phone calls in hour number one, which we'd love to hear from you on Friday afternoons. And so that's all back in hour number one. Here in hour number two, we got to start making our picks for the SEC games on our SEC Football Challenge on ESPNAU.com. That's our station website. You'll find the contest there. You'll also find our podcast there, and you can listen to the show live there each and every day. So be sure you've got that website bookmarked on your computer, at the office, at home, on your cell phone, whatever the case may be. ESPNAU.com. Sign up for our SEC Football Challenge. Your picks are due by tonight for week one by midnight. So get those in. All you need is an email and a password. It really is that simple. So go and do that. We'll be making our picks here in hour number two and giving our full breakdown of Auburn and Alabama A&M. Hour number two is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. They bring you the third or the second hour from 3 to 4 o'clock each and every day here on ESPN. You can check them out at theorthoclinic.com. We appreciate the Orthopedic Clinic for bringing you the second hour of the show each and every day. Gentlemen, it's time. I think we jump right into this thing. I think we get to our SEC Football Challenge and we start making some picks. Now, there's going to be some games that are obvious, and so with that, we'll add on a couple of our own just for fun that are outside of the SEC. But I say we get started at ESPNAU.com. Get your email typed in. Get your password typed in. Pull up week one because these are due tonight at midnight. Weekly prizes from University Ace Hardware, Johnny Brusco's New York Style Pizza, and the Orthopedic Clinic. Weekly prizes from them, and then a grand prize for the best picker at the end of the season. There's a couple of gimmies since, you know, we had some days roll over, whatever. But we'll start with the game tonight, Oklahoma and Temple. Any possible way, as Oklahoma has their first game with an SEC logo on their jersey, do they trip up? Do they get upset by the Temple Owls here? I don't think so.
No, that's not even close to a consideration. I mean,
I'm just making sure.
They're a 42.5 point favorite. And, you know, I don't like even talking about games like this because it's just such a crapshoot when the lines get that large on whether or not somebody can cover or not. But in this case, I kind of feel comfortable that Oklahoma is actually going to cover this line. Temple is horrible.
They're not good.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think they're going to beat it by running the football as well. Again, the quarterback, Jackson Arnold, played a little bit in the postseason, had a couple issues with turning the ball over. So I think you're going to rely on that run game. But I agree. The 42 points, I feel like, is a lot just because, again, that's letting the foot off the gas pedal in the fourth quarter and giving up a touchdown, going three and out, and giving up a field goal when you're already up by 50 and all of a sudden they cover. So won't necessarily take a true opinion on that, but no, Oklahoma has my little check marks.
Well, with this week, we're going to blow through a lot of these games quickly just because it's week one. As the season goes on and we get into SEC play, this will take us a little bit longer, but that'll give us an opportunity to talk a little high school football before we give our full thoughts on Auburn and Alabama A&M. We'll go ahead and take Tennessee over Chattanooga. All naysayers say aye. Cool. Texas and Colorado State will take Texas. Mississippi State, EKU. I know it's Mississippi State. They're not that good, but I think we can all agree that that will be okay. South Carolina and Old Dominion, think that's okay. Ole Miss over Furman, that could get ugly. Kentucky and Southern Miss. And I bring this one up because this was Lee Sterling's free play. Didn't give us the pick, but you can get it from him at ParamountSports.com. Can Kentucky win and cover? I think that's the bigger question. It's not if Kentucky wins. It's just if they cover their spread that they have against Southern Miss. Any worries there?
I mean, I don't think there's a worry for Kentucky to win the ball game. I don't think Southern Miss has been a very good football program for quite some time. You know, when you start talking about that many points that they're giving up, somewhere in the mid-20s, I believe. I look for Kentucky to easily handle this football game, though.
I do, too. I think Kentucky will win. Just wanted to make sure we didn't have any objections. Christian, any?
No, okay. I think – I mean, Brock Vandegrift, new starting quarterback, after spending a couple years at Georgia, now at Kentucky. I don't think you expect him to do too much. You're not going to throw the entire offense on him. So I will give Southern Miss to cover. I believe it's 26.5 right now. But I had it as like a 24-point game for Kentucky.
Okay. Want to bring this game up just for a second, just because of the storyline here, right? Nobody's concerned on whether Alabama can actually beat Western Kentucky. But all eyes will be on this game tomorrow night, even if you're at Jordan-Hare, even if you're watching the Auburn game on whatever streaming it is. ESPN Plus, I think, is what it's going to be on, or if you're listening to it on the radio over on Wings 94.3 and WingsFM.com. Alabama, the first game in a long, long time without Nick Saban on the sidelines. And I think everybody's just kind of curious on, okay, we know they're talented, but how talented? And then it's going to look different, but Uncle T-Bone, how different?
Wow. I mean, what a question that is.
He was hoping you went to me first.
Yeah, I really was. I mean, I was kind of zoning out there for a second, too. Man, look different. I mean, the offense at Alabama – especially last year with the little guy they brought down from Notre Dame to be their coordinator, was at times kind of stagnant. I think it's going to look more along the lines offensively, explosive play-wise, across the board, not just on Jalen Milroe like it did under Steve Sarkisian and when Lane Kiffin were there calling plays. Defensively, I think that's where the Tide's going to struggle this year. And I know they got a lot of talent. But, you know, to say that, and I've heard actual people try and make this claim as of late, that Kane Womack is of the same caliber of defensive mind of Nick Saban is outrageous. They're going to be red hot tomorrow. DeBoer's going to look to come in and make a statement very quickly and establish himself with a blowout win. That shouldn't be a problem against Western Kentucky. I mean, Lee Sterling said it last time they went up against somebody like this. The other team, Ohio State, scored over 60 points. But I just, there's some things I want to look for defensively, like, you know, almost like looking at Auburn's defense against Alabama A&M. Are they going to be dominant? Are they going to be able to bring pressure when they want? Are they going to be able to disguise blitzes? Are the defensive backs going to man up on receivers and play physical ball? I just don't think that this season, and I could be wrong, that Alabama will miss a beat offensively. I think they'll be better than they have been in a couple of years, but I think defensively that's where they're going to struggle.
All right, well, we'll see. Alabama plays Western Kentucky tomorrow night. No, again, we're all picking Alabama. That's not the question here. It's the question of how different will they look. Okay, let's get into games that actually have to be picked because you could go either way. And we're going to start with one that's gross. I'm just going to tell you.
It's Arkansas and Arkansas Pine Bluff.
Oh, don't take a minus 50. They can't do it. I swear. They won't be able to. Virginia Tech and Vanderbilt. Virginia Tech in Nashville at Vandy. Virginia Tech is the favorite in this game by almost 2 touchdowns. 13.5 is what it sits at according to ESPN. Christian, your pick. Vandy or Virginia Tech?
Since there is only a straight-up winner, I am going Virginia Tech. But if there was a cover margin, I would take the Vanderbilt Commodores to cover that 13.5-point spread.
Wow.
I would. Wow. I told you, I'm up on them when we did our SEC predictions for them to win more than 2.5 games.
Count me out. I've been down that road before.
I think this is...
Nope.
They might not come away with the true win, but I think you're going to see flashes again. They got some moving pieces. They got a couple guys that... I think Auburn could wait a little bit longer before they have to see in Diego Pavia and that starting quarter, that coach that moved to Vanderbilt with the Commodores. I think he's going to look pretty well, but just doesn't have enough around him. Kyron Jones and Virginia Tech by 10.
I can't believe I'm about to do this.
No, don't do it.
I cannot believe I'm about to pour up a massive 32-ounce glass of Commodore Kool-Aid.
It tastes terrible. I
can
speak from
experience.
And I'm
just going to funnel it right into my veins.
God,
but Vanderbilt at 11 o'clock in the morning will shock the college football world as a 13.5-point underdog. Not only get the cover, but somehow Diego Pavia, the Auburn killer himself, Jacob, is going to get the W here. I don't know how, I don't know why, but in the battle of the V's, give me the Vanderbilt Commodores. Let's go.
No. No, absolutely not. Give me Virginia Tech. Let me be the same one here.
I don't know. When is the last time Virginia Tech was relevant in college football? Who's their coach? Is it that Barry Odom still from Memphis or – I don't even know who their coach is anymore.
I'm not going to act like I know off the top of my head.
It's been years since they have been a threat in college football.
But they have Sandman.
Sandman ain't playing in Nashville.
It ain't playing in Nashville. And now has Vanderbilt finally finished their 5,000-year renovation of their 38,000-person stadium where they were just adding like a new scoreboard and it just stopped? Construction just died.
Brent Pry is the Virginia Tech head coach for his third year, in case you didn't know.
Brent Pry. Never heard of him, but I have heard of Diego Pavia. Give me the Commodores. They're going to drop the anchor tomorrow on the Hokies.
We're moving on from this conversation. Virginia Tech is winning this football game.
Jacob just can't handle being wrong.
I've been wrong.
The problem is he's been wrong too many times with Vanderbilt.
Right. So now he just continues to go back and forth and
now
can't
he just
settle
hates
on anything.
On yep. Instead of just taking those Commodore eyeglasses and putting them back on. Vanderbilt might have – let me tell you this. That is the easiest bet in Vegas for over-unders. They will get over their number this year.
I think Christian put the house on it.
Yeah.
That was my nice. If I was putting two teams – to hit either an over or an under. It was Ole Miss over 9.5, and it was Vanderbilt to win more than 2.5.
Ole Miss might score 70 points tomorrow against Furman.
They might. They may pull an Arkansas. Lane Kiffin is definitely going to pull an Arkansas and see if he can put up 100 just to say he did.
How amazing, though. The very first game on the free-for-all Friday, we have a outright winner, one to cover, and then you're on the other end, Jacob, just saying Virginia Tech's going to roll.
Let's move on. I'm tired of talking about Vanderbilt. Miami and Florida, a game that has been talked about all week long across college football, might be the most impactful game on the schedule tomorrow, which is crazy with Georgia-Clemson on there. We'll get to that one in a second. This could be the head coaching bowl win or you're gone type of game. You're not going to get fired after this game in particular, but I think the hot seat will get even hotter with the loser for this game. Miami and Florida, Uncle T-Bone, go.
Well, over at RadioFreeAuburn.com, my website, I've got this labeled as your loser leave town game of the year. I mean, I don't know which one of these coaches needs this win more. I don't know which one of these coaches can afford a loss even worse. I don't know why I'm doing this, because I've been running them down all summer along with Texas A&M. But the Swamp's a hard place to play. And I'll say this too. Graham Mertz, a second-year quarterback, this is a trend I think you're going to see all weekend, and you're beginning to see with this transfer portal, and you'll see it all year. These guys like Peyton Thorne, like Graham Mertz, who had a good season last year, and others that have been in the program for 2 years and not one, have an advantage over the quarterback who just transfers in. Cam Ward's a hotshot transfer from Washington State. I get it. Some people have labeled him as a Heisman contender. I don't get that. I got to be in see it to believe it mode with Miami and Mario Cristobal. I cannot believe I'm doing this, because Ron Roberts is a haint, and he is now helping out the defense down in Florida, and that's not good for you, Gator fan. But give me the Gators, 30-28.
Man, here's my thing with Florida, and I'm going to keep it quick because we got to keep moving and get to a break here. I'm going to take Florida. I'm taking Florida in this game in particular. Now, once we get into the SEC schedule, it's going to be a whole different ballgame for me. But being in the Swamp, not neutral site, and I love your point about a second-year quarterback versus a first-year transfer, Uncle T-Bone. That's a really, really underrated point. Give me the Gators. Give me Florida and Billy Napier to at least get a win this season and try to get up near their 4.5 win total. I'm taking the Gators tomorrow.
I was really hoping I was going to be the difference maker
in this one.
But instead, it is a clean sweep.
Wow.
I have the Florida Gators as well. They're going to slow this game down. Rather than taking, if I could, I would take an under rather than a team to win at 54.5. I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. Graham Mertz and that Swamp is going to do everything they can. Everybody talks about the helmet communication. It doesn't matter. Cam Ward's not going to be able to hear inside of his helmet. And when you have 8 moving pieces on that offense, that's going to be a little too much, and I think the Swamp's going to eat that one up. Give me Florida 23-16.
ESPN fans on our website at ESPNAU.com, their pick right now is Florida by 53%. So it's pretty close to 50-50 with Miami and Florida. Go check it out, ESPNAU.com. You can fill your picks out with us. You get weekly prizes for the best picker and a grand prize winner at the end of it as well. We've still got great games to pick when we come back. Plus, we're talking Auburn and Alabama A&M. All that here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
All right, let's keep picking games in the SEC Football Challenge. You can get in on this as well at ESPNAU.com. Again, that's brought to you by University Ace Hardware, Johnny Brusco's New York Style Pizza, and the Orthopedic Clinic. Thank you to those sponsors. They bring you a weekly prize each and every week for the top picker. And then at the very end of the season, there's a grand prize from all of those amazing sponsors. We've gone through and picked a lot of I don't know what you want to call them, the blowout games, I guess, the cupcake games, whatever you want to call it. We're split on Virginia Tech and Vandy. That was fun. And we all picked Florida to beat Miami tomorrow afternoon. Now we got 3 games we've got to get to in the next 8 minutes, gentlemen. So let's move through this one quickly. I'll go ahead and give you my pick very quick on Georgia-Clemson tomorrow, 11 a.m. I think the Dogs roll. I think they absolutely roll against Clemson. It'll be the second half. I think it'll be good in the first half. You'll see some good talent. I just don't think Clemson's got the horses to keep up with Georgia for 4 quarters, Uncle T-Bone. Yeah. I'm going to take Georgia to pull away by the end of it. It'll look worse than it is, but I think Georgia dominates by the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia should win the ball game. I think that goes without saying. I mean, they opened up as a 14-point favorite. It dropped to 13.5, and today it's dropped to 12.5, whatever that means.
It's down to 12.5?
Yeah, on
Hammer
scoresandodds.com. John T. Public likes the Tigers. I think Clemson plays a lot of defense. They'll keep them in that game for a long time and keep it closer than the spread. But I just don't think they quite got the horses to run with Georgia. I'll take the Dogs to win the game outright but not cover.
I kind of agree with you, Jacob. I think you stole my notes almost exactly. I think that it's going to be a relatively close game. I don't think you expect it to be a Georgia-Oregon a couple years ago to where you're looking up after a quarter and a half and it's 28-3 and you're sitting there, oh my gosh, what did I miss? But I think it's going to look a lot worse than the score.
You missed Bo Nix throwing another pick six.
Yeah, I might have. That's Jeremy Johnson threw one too. If we're, but again, I think it'll look worse than it actually was. I have Georgia just covering again. It might be a 10-point game on a late score for the Dogs, 27-10, Clemson. I mean, sorry. 10 points for Clemson, 27-10 Georgia.
Sheesh. Okay.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be something. I mean, hey, you'd make Steve Whitten very happy, our GM here at Auburn Network. He's still convinced that Clemson's going to win. I don't know about all that.
He's been talking that all summer.
He has.
I do really feel like that Dabo Swinney is just kind of laying in the weeds here, looking to make a statement. Nothing would please him more, Jacob, than come out and get a big win and tell everybody in college football his way is the right way. It is not the right way.
It ain't.
And you're right. And Georgia's going to take care of business. Is Trevor Etienne Jr., is Trevor Etienne playing?
We don't know. As far as I know, we don't know, and we probably will not know until kickoff is what Jordan Hill told us on Wednesday, and then I had a whole thing about it. Like, do we really believe that what is Kirby Smart going to do? Is he going to do the right thing and hold him out, or is he going to make sure he plays just to make sure that they win the football game? What do we think he's
probably
going
to do?
Probably
get a one-game suspension next weekend.
He'll get a one-half suspension, and all of a sudden, it's 13-10. All right. Time to go.
Here's our secret weapon off the sideline. We'll see. Tomorrow, Georgia Clemson, 11 a.m. on ABC, right out of College Game Day. Everybody will be watching that one. And if you watch Virginia Tech and Vanderbilt instead, you're high. All right, Notre Dame and Texas A&M tomorrow night. A lot of us, yes, will be watching, covering, attending the Auburn-Alabama A&M game, which we're going to be talking about the entire back half of this hour. Mm-hmm. But everybody's eyes will be on Notre Dame and Texas A&M, a top 10 Irish team in College Station, A&M's first game with Mike Elko at the helm. What a fantastic game this is going to be tomorrow night.
I mean, it's two of the top, maybe the two top overrated teams in the top 25 with their rankings. I don't understand why Notre Dame's ranked 7th, and I don't understand why Texas A&M is ranked 20th. Notre Dame has got a lot to rebuild with. A lot of young talent. Marcus Freeman's done a good job recruiting. But they're playing this quarterback roulette every year. The one-hit wonders, they did it with Hartman last year. They're going to do it with Riley Leonard this year. Christian Griffin, who was Riley Leonard's coach at Duke last year?
Mike Elko.
He's coaching at Texas A&M now. I think that gives them a little bit of an advantage. Kyle Field, home of the 12th man, can be a very difficult place to play for opposing teams. They have beaten some big names over there and then fall apart as the season moves on. I think the Aggies take care of business in College Station tomorrow night with a late field goal.
You're stealing my notes, both of you, man. I couldn't agree more. Johnny Manziel's the guest picker for College Game Day. It's hard to go against Money Manziel.
Hide your wife, hide your kids.
That's what I But, I mean, hey, with NIL now, maybe he's just going to start handing bills out over on the field.
It's legal.
He
now.
Was NIL before there was NIL.
He was.
He was the definition of NIL before it was NIL.
Very,
absolutely.
Very much so. But, again, Texas A&M, a three-point favorite. I like right at that three-point margin. Yeah. And if it sways me over, I have a collie. So the Fighting Gracies of Texas A&M.
You know, I was going to pick A&M, and Chris Gordy was on here yesterday and talked about the line for Notre Dame and on their offensive line. I believe he told me they're going to be starting two true freshmen and three very young sophomores on that offensive line, and we know that A&M can absolutely eat on the defensive side. Just to be different, I'll take Notre Dame to get the win. And I gave Notre Dame credit for going on this game and going on the road to take on Texas A&M. They don't have to do this. Notre Dame could play the Arkansas Pine Bluffs of the world every single game and still make the college football playoff, but they actually went out and did something, and they're going to play a really good A&M team.
I'll tell you what, with that schedule, if they get past the Aggie Saturday night, they're going to probably make the college football playoffs.
I'll take Notre Dame to win, just to be a little bit different here on the show. And then one more game, we got a minute or so, Southern Cal and LSU, Sunday night in Las Vegas. I don't think it's going to be the shootout everybody thinks it is. I'll give you my pick quickly. I have LSU 31-20.
I mean, back in my day, that's a shootout. I'll say, how did neither one of these teams make the college football playoffs last year when their quarterbacks were taken consecutively 1 and 2 in the NFL draft? I think that LSU has a ton to they have to replace a ridiculous amount, 3 first-round draft picks. They've got the talent to do it. USC has to replace a lot, the number one draft pick, and he's got a big arm. If y'all haven't been paying attention, he's been playing pretty well in the preseason. Mm-hmm. I trust Brian Kelly more than I trust Lincoln Riley here. Give me LSU. Give me the Bayou Bengals, and they're gonna get their fans are going to just gamble away their gumbo pots in Las Vegas, the Strip, all weekend. What a great place that'd be to be this weekend with them.
Mm-hmm.
Not so fast.
Uh-oh.
87% of our voters here on Radio Alabama, the SEC Challenge, have LSU. I'm going the other way. Give me Southern California. Give me Miller.
You hear that, Lonnie? He said your lead pipe lock from Lochapoca means nothing.
And I'm a big fan of history trends. That's why I went with the Georgia Tech against the spread with Florida State, or covering the spread. I ended up winning outright. Week one in LSU does not favor them very much at all. And I think that USC's defense, they pride themselves, if you can say that anymore, but Lincoln Riley has taken a big step defensively, and the DBs are now their strength. If USC can get up early and force Garrett Nussmeier to throw the ball, I think you're going to see USC come out with a victory. I think it's going to be low scoring. Give me 27-24. The Trojans of USC.
All right, go get your picks in at ESPNAU.com, our SEC Football Challenge. We made our picks, and hey, just an update from Pete Thamel a few minutes ago. North Carolina has announced that QB Max Johnson out for the season. Got injured last night in that win where they had to bring the backup in against Minnesota. They still got the win, but he is getting surgery, or he underwent successful surgery for a broken right leg.
This is
North Carolina's quarterback out.
17th surgery in his 20th season in college football.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal. Well, again, go get your picks in, ESPNAU.com. When we come back, we're talking Auburn as they open up the season against Alabama A&M. 30 more minutes here on ESPN.
On the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He's Uncle T-Bone, also got Christian Griffin, and I'm Jacob Goetz. Let's get to the phone lines before we talk Auburn and Alabama A&M. 334-321-1390. He's back on the airwaves. Spectre, it has been way too long, my man.
Yeah, it has. I've had things to do.
I understand.
Where have you been, Spectre? I thought Dan from the other show finally got you so mad you just wrote us off.
No. I've been making America great again, guys.
Okay, then.
So anyway, I've been trying to catch up, and all the talk shows for the last couple of months or more have talked about Auburn in a way where, you know, the offense is going. I mean, the offensive line is good. It's going to be good. It, of course, the receiver core is really going to be good. But when it comes to talk about Peyton Thorne, everybody's got a huge question mark. And I took what the coach said, and he is saying a lot in those few words about I've given him all the tools that I've got. So it's telling me that he's not sure himself that Peyton is going to come out fired. Now, Peyton is a senior, and that is something to be said. We're not talking about a sophomore or a freshman. He should already know his stuff. He should already have the right game in his head right decisions to make already. This isn't something we should be waiting to see what's going to happen. I haven't heard anything great about him in the fall practice. I've heard ups and downs, and I'm just going to wrap it up by saying this.
Okay.
This game here tomorrow, I don't care about Auburn meeting the spread or beating the spread. That's irrelevant to me. I want Auburn to get in there and do what they do best, and then get Peyton out of there and get Brown in there. And if we make that same mistake that we made at the beginning of last year, riding him down to the fourth quarter and then having a few minutes to throw other guys in there, we're going to be really hurting at the end of the year. But with that being said, I'm behind Peyton. I hope he really does good. But if I see one, you ought to see it. If he's not ready, if he's not there, you're going to see it, no matter how weak Alabama A&M may be.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to know, you're going to pick it up immediately, and I know Coach will pick it up. But he should not hesitate, not one bit. He shouldn't hesitate.
I'm with you on that.
What you guys have to say about that?
We'll react to it, Spectre. Great to hear from you, my man. Have a fantastic weekend.
All right.
Spectre joining us on the phone lines, 334-321-1390, to get us into our segment, Talking Auburn and Alabama A&M. Game one tomorrow, under the lights for Auburn, Hugh Freeze in season two. And Spectre brings up, obviously, the quarterback concern. And where he says everybody seems to have a big question mark around Peyton Thorne, he's absolutely right because of how last year ended. And I'm with Spectre also when he says that Hugh Freeze is saying a lot with few words on, I've given him the tools to be successful. And what that tells me, and what I think is going to be the motto, is it's now or never. And if he doesn't have it, Spectre, if he can't get it now, with the communication all on point, with all the coaches on the same page, all the players on the same page, all the things they've told us since July, they looked at me and told us that in SEC Media Days. If it doesn't happen now, it never will. And I think the leash is short for Peyton Thorne. For tomorrow, yeah, get in, get out, stay healthy, and get some of the other guys in there, Hank Brown, Holden Garner, and Walker White. Absolutely. Get them in there as soon as you can. But for the season as a whole, the leash is short for Peyton Thorne because Hugh Freeze thinks he has it, but he doesn't know until he sees it.
Well, it's trust and verify, right? I mean, we saw flashes of brilliance last year with Peyton Thorne, and we saw times that were just head scratching. What are you doing, man? Why are you throwing it there? Why are you staring down that receiver
again? How did you not see that linebacker?
Yeah. And I mean, what I take from not just Spectre saying, you know, he hasn't heard a lot of things about Peyton Thorne being said that basically are wowing him out of summer practice. What I'm taking from that is I haven't really heard a whole lot of anything about Peyton Thorne, to be honest with you. And that's a good thing. Like, he doesn't have to be the complete and total answer to all problems with Auburn offense in this season. And Hugh Freeze saying that he's given him the weapons, it's not putting like a blame if it goes wrong. Like, well, I've done everything I can do. I think he's just stating, making a factual statement that the talent around him is far more upgraded. I mean, there's been multiple articles. You can just Google Peyton Thorne comments by Hugh Freeze, and plenty of them are coming up in recently too, where things like, I'm really proud of him, and I've got complete trust and confidence in him. So there are words that Hugh Freeze have come out to the press and said. Are they just words of what a coach should say about their starting quarterback and have enough sense to say in public, or does he really mean it? I think, and I fully feel, Spectre, that Hugh Freeze has complete confidence in Peyton Thorne right now going into game one. Fact.
I would 100% agree with you. I feel like it's one of those, you hear all about how the quarterback has to be the guy, and it's all about fall camp if you're hearing good news or bad news. For Peyton Thorne and for Auburn at the quarterback position, no news is great news because it means that he's doing his job the way that Hugh Freeze is expecting him to do. And everything that you're hearing from Hugh Freeze is, again, as you mentioned, he's giving him the tools. He's making the right reads on the RPOs more times than not. The other thing, and I know that the leash is short for Peyton Thorne.
As it should be.
As it should be, but we cannot go out and expect him to play mistake-free football. And that's kind of my opinion with everything because, again, everybody is going to make mistakes. It cannot be to the standpoint of, again, I didn't see that Vanderbilt linebacker standing right in front of Rivaldo Fairweather. Let me throw it to him. But it can't be one of those things where, I mean, you have a decent drive and it stalls after back-to-back incompletions and he gets booed off the field.
Well, I'll piggyback off of that, especially for the game tomorrow in particular, where if there are – because – not every turnover is on the quarterback. Not every interception is on the quarterback, right? You can't tell me, and you can't sit here and say that there won't be miscommunications tomorrow.
Right.
That there won't be wrong routes run, or there won't be some confusion. Like, some of that's going to happen. Hugh Freeze has even talked about that with the freshman receivers, how some of them have made mistakes. How Malcolm and Bryce and even Perry have run wrong routes or didn't run far enough or just didn't do the things they were supposed to do. And that's going to happen a little bit. And so for you to say that we shouldn't expect Peyton Thorne to play mistake-free football, I agree, but it's not always on him. And I think tomorrow night could absolutely be an example of that.
One thing that's going to fire me up, though, is – if I see Cam Coleman, Perry Thompson, or one of these new Kellers at wide receiver running wide open and they get overthrown on a deep ball.
Or just not thrown to at all.
I'm going to start getting a little fired up because that's got to stop. To me, the deep ball is just throw and catch. It's the easiest throw and catch in college football if somebody's wide open. You just huck it out there. You should have thrown that ball 150,000 times to your receivers, not just in summer practice, but in spring and on the side and whenever you can. It's not like you're trying to hit some type of 10-yard out right on the sidelines. Some type of – I mean, Jalen Milroe makes that throw look easy.
It's one of those a fast break, you're wide open, you're going in for the layup. You make it all the time, but all of a sudden it's – oh, gosh, I'm wide open. I can't miss it now. Sure. Same type of deal
and
with the throw.
I saw that last year. Like, there were times when receivers were open and on big plays, and they were just overthrown.
Or on the flip side, they just dropped it when it did hit them in
good
the hands.
Good point.
I've said it three things. Many times there's three things that Peyton Thorne has to do well this year, and the third one is that deep ball.
Yeah.
Now that you have those receivers, they cannot be – 50-50 balls for a receiver and a defender. It needs to be 75-25, 80-20, where it is either catch or it falls incomplete. Cam Coleman should not have to turn into a defensive back to go up and catch a football.
Well, and he also shouldn't have to put on the afterburner every single time a deep ball's thrown and lay out for it. You know, I did see him make a spectacular catch during the 8A game, and it was early in the game, and it was an overthrown ball. But this time, there was a receiver who could go get it. But don't make him do that every time. I mean, make it look seamless. Tomorrow's a wonderful opportunity for Auburn to work on deep balls.
Yes.
I want to see a couple things out of Peyton Thorne tomorrow. And the coaching staff. I want to see plays getting in and out quickly. None of this, you know, getting down to the clock and they're looking and they're, what play? I want to see the communication be seamless. I want to see Peyton Thorne bring the ball perfectly out of run option throw and run it some more just to give people more to think about, and I want to see the deep ball hitting.
There we go. I mean, you hit on the nail on the head about exactly. These are the three things that I've talked about all summer. It's making the right read on the RPO, whether it's the slant or whether it's tucking and run. If he can run the ball 8 to 10 times a game just to keep the defense honest is something that this team is going to have. If you can throw right behind the linebacker's ears in front of the safeties on that RPO slant or the 10-yard hitch route or the out routes right at the sticks and then the deep ball. If you can master those three things, you don't have to be the Superman of this offense.
John in Auburn says, football games are lost more than they are won. And I think that is spot on for most situations around the game of football. All right, let's get to the phone lines. 334-321-1390. I paid this guy a visit earlier today. Got some lunch before getting on the air. It's the Pitmaster joining us on the phone lines. What's up, Pitmaster? How are you?
Hello. How are we doing today? Uncle T-Bone, I hadn't seen you in a couple of days. I'm a little disappointed in you. But we'll let that go. First of all, I want to, Peyton Thorne ain't the only player on this team, ladies and gentlemen. We didn't lose all these games last year. We lost just because of Peyton Thorne. And I don't know who listened to, T-Bone today on the other show before y'all, but he makes a good point. Now you got a two-year starter system. How about we just settle down a little bit until we see the guy play after being in the system for a year and coming into his second year? Because the other thing is, I didn't see a real good defense in any of the losses we had last year. It ain't just Peyton Thorne, ladies and gentlemen. So let's bring that narrative down just a little bit. I'm tired of hearing about it, okay?
Well, I do think that too many times across football, the quarterback gets too much blame and too much credit. That was a difficult situation for Peyton Thorne coming in last year, continuing to play that rotational-type situational quarterback. How do you get in rhythm, Pitmaster? If you're having to, if you're over there working the pit and some other guy's going to come over and work the pit, and then you got to go work the pit, and then he comes and works the pit. Same holds true at quarterback. This is his team. Give the guy a chance to show what he can really do. He has the weapons to do it. Got the right play calling last year. Some of that play calling last year was awful.
Exactly. There was a bunch of awful things I watched. And a lot of them happened in the New Mexico State game and a couple of others, and it wasn't just Peyton Thorne. So, I'm just saying, all you hear is, I get it, they get all the praise and all the whatever, but it's like, come on, man. Let's look at what we had, what Hugh Freeze came into last year. Let's look at what Peyton Thorne did the year before he transferred. He went 10-2 at Michigan State.
Yeah.
So you know what? I think the kid is probably an adequate quarterback with, being his second year as a starter. We're going to see some improvement, especially with the caliber of players we have on offense now.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that. Hey, Pitmaster, want to let you know, man, my sandwiches I had today for lunch, they were Buck.
Exactly. Why wouldn't they be?
Hey, have a great weekend, my man. Always great to hear from you.
There you go.
334-321-1390. The one and the only, the Pitmaster. And look, I'm with him. We're about to get to break. And there's so many things that last year held that were bad, that were not good, that fans wanted to be upset about. And I totally understand. But I think he's got a point. I mean, if Hugh, and I've said this numerous times, Hugh Freeze didn't get somebody out of the portal, right, at quarterback. He didn't start a young guy. Peyton Thorne won the starting job. He trusted him. He put the weapons around him, the tools, if you will, is what Hugh Freeze says. Now let's go and see what happens. And tomorrow can be a good start. We're not going to come in here on Monday, okay? We're not going to come in here on Monday and say, Peyton Thorne threw for 450 yards, five touchdowns, no interceptions. He's the answer. He's the greatest thing we've ever seen. Send him to New York. No. But if he has a bad game, are we allowed to come in here and overreact to that? Are we allowed to overreact to a bad game but
yes,
not a good game?
Yes, I think so. Against an opponent like Alabama A&M, if he's staring down people again and throwing picks, you know what's going to happen, Jacob. That phone's going to start ringing hot off the hook for some Hank Brown.
All right, let's get to our final break. We'll come back, make our final picks and predictions for Auburn and Alabama A&M, and we'll wind it down here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Friday edition of On the Line, and we're going to give our final predictions and picks for Auburn and Alabama A&M. The winning loss is not really up in question, just what we'd like to see on our way out of the studio today. But with us being high school guys and us having the Auburn High Sports Network, the Lee Scott Sports Network, and priding ourselves here at Auburn Network and our high school football and athletics coverage, wanted to just give a moment for a horrible tragedy that's happened in this state in high school football. And most of you probably know and understand what I'm getting to here. The loss of a life, Caden Tellier, the Morgan Academy high school quarterback, high school football player who lost his life down in Selma a week ago in just a freak accident, and something that nobody can ever prepare for, ever accept, or ever really understand on why things like this happen. And so, again, I'm sure a ton of you have seen it, but yeah, Caden Tellier did lose his life last Friday competing on the football field under the lights on a Friday night. And so before we get out of here, just wanted to mention that and give him and that whole situation, the family, the community down in Selma, a moment for him. All right, gentlemen, we got Auburn and Alabama A&M tomorrow under the lights at Jordan-Hare. Game one of the 2024 season, year two for Hugh Freeze. New roster, totally revamped through the transfer portal, through high school recruiting. Again, the winning and loss is not in question. Nobody's picking Auburn to lose this game tomorrow. But if there's one thing, what's the one thing you want to see to be satisfied when we come back in here on Monday? Uncle T-Bone, you go first.
Cam Coleman, 12 catches, 143 yards, which is about 170 meters for all you Europeans out there listening. Two touchdowns and making his statement of authority that I am here, college football, and you better be ready because I'm ready to rumble.
I think synchronization is something that I'm really wanting to see, and that's on the offensive side of the football. Again, how many times last year did we see it on a third and two where we had to call a timeout because there were 12 men on the field, or a fourth and goal, but you're about to go for it, but there you have to call a timeout because of some sort of miscommunication, especially now with the helmet communication and everything. Let everything be in sync, whether it be where everything is just clicking all at once, or just make it to where everything is simplified for the game. The RPO is supposed to be simple. You're making one or two correct reads per play. You're looking at one or two guys, and you're making your decision off of that. Play the right way and play with some synchronization.
I'm going to piggyback off of that, and I don't want tomorrow to look like game one for Auburn. I want it to look like game three or four, to go off with what Christian is saying. Yep. Yeah, let's make it look smooth. Let's go out and just operate like a well-oiled machine and look like we've played football before. Don't have all the silly mistakes like you're saying, Christian. That's my take. I want it to not look like game one. Yeah. So then we know we're ready for Cal next week. We know we're ready for Arkansas in 4 weeks when we know they can put up some points. We're ready when Oklahoma comes in. We're not questioning, well, if we play well, if everything goes together. No, I'm tired of having those doubts. I want to know that Auburn's going to play their best football every time they step on the field, and tomorrow's the first time to prove that.
Yeah, that is amazing. Very well put. They should look like a well-oiled machine tomorrow. Not just because
there's no excuse not
just
to.
Not because either of the competition level. I mean, this team has upgraded everywhere, Jacob. You've got a second-year starter. You've got guys that came in early out of high school that are big components that were here during the spring. I mean, I know it's the first game, and it's exciting, and it's different than practice and scrimmages, but they shouldn't look like they don't know what they're doing, and you should be worried about Cal week two. And I think by week two, we're gonna have a really good idea after that Cal game what this team's going to look like the rest of the season. Real quick, I'm with Specter. I don't care about the line here. I think I'm just going to say Auburn wins 49-10. They'll get a lot of young people in very early into the game and dominate. It could be a lot worse if they wanted it to be.
8 weeks in Jordan-Hare, and you get the first one tomorrow night.
Boom. There you go. How about that? All right. Hey, tune in tonight. Lee Scott football on the road at Lochapoka, AU100 and AU100FM.com. Christian and Rhett will have the call. I'll be on the air with Jack Cutton, Wings 94.3 and WingsFM.com. Both go live at 6:30 Auburn High hosting Vestavia Hills. We are here on Monday for Labor Day, so we'll be back then 2-4 right here on ESPN 106.7. He's Uncle T-Bone, also Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.